Hey, good morning, Resonate family. It is good to see you this morning. It is good to be with you. For those of you who are brand new, my name is Edward. I just want to say welcome to our online campus. Welcome to you, to our campuses in both Hayward and Oakland. I am so glad to be with you this morning and have the opportunity to open up God's Word. Now, if you are new, or maybe you've missed a couple of weeks, I just want to let you know we are wrapping up a teaching series this week called Mindful. Over the last several weeks, we've been looking at what God's Word has to say about some of the mental health challenges that so many of us face on a day-to-day basis, that so many of us know that others face on a day-to-day basis. We've talked about shame. We've talked about anxiety, depression. Last week, we heard about the unhealthy beliefs that could set us back. And man, it has been a blessing. God has been moving amongst us at all of our campuses in really special ways. And I just want to encourage you, if you've missed any one of those messages, our teaching team has just done a phenomenal job of showing the hope of Jesus Christ through these messages. And so definitely go online to our website if you've missed any of those messages. Well, today I have the privilege of wrapping up our series. And I want to wrap up our series by asking this question. And maybe it's a question that can serve you where you are in your life today. And the question is simply this: What do I do? What do I do when the difficult circumstances of my life seem to be intensifying my depression, anxiety, or shame? We've been talking about depression, anxiety, shame, unhealthy beliefs, and yes, God's Word is full of hope, but what happens when these mental health challenges are accompanied by difficult circumstances, left and right, difficult circumstances that seem to intensify the mental health challenges? What do you do? And maybe you're here today and you would say, yeah, I've got some issues in my marriage. Things aren't getting better between my husband and I, and it's intensifying my depression. It's intensifying my anxiety. Maybe you're here today and you are just brokenhearted about a situation that one of your children is going through. And you're praying for them. And you love them so much, but your heart is broken because you see them hurting. And so feelings of shame or anxiety are welling up within you. What do we do? Maybe you have some financial challenges. And it just seems like just when things are getting a little bit better, I'm saving up some money, then all of a sudden an emergency comes up. I've got to drain the savings account. And here we are at step one again. Lord, when are you going to give me a break? What do you do? And at all of our campuses, I believe that your Heavenly Father wants to communicate to you, amongst many other things, I see you. I have not forgotten about you. I know the feelings that you're feeling as the walls of life seem to be closing in on you, and I have not forgotten about you, son. I have not forgotten about you, daughter. And not only does God want to remind you that he sees you this morning, he wants to give you instruction from his word to help you. How many of you are looking forward to some help from God's word this morning? Say amen. 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 There's going to be help on the way. The second type of person that I know is amongst us is would say, man, I'm not the one going through challenges as much as I know someone who is. I know someone who's going through mental health challenges. I know someone who's going through a divorce. I know someone who is at the end of their rope because they're going through physical and health challenges, and I don't know what to say. I don't know how to be an encouragement. I haven't been through what they've been through. What do I do? What do I say? And I'm so thankful that God's word has helped for all of us today. Those of you who find yourself in a disciple-making relationship, you're making a follower of Jesus Christ, you're coming along someone and helping them to follow Jesus, but you feel stuck, God's word has helped for you today. I'm so thankful. And we're going to be in the book of James. James is going to provide this instruction for us. And for those of you who are new to Bible study, maybe you're new to church, maybe you don't read the Bible much, and so you don't really understand, like, what are these books and these names? Well, let me tell you about James real quick. He writes a letter to the early church. And James is an important figure in history because he's actually the half-brother of Jesus Christ. In James, he actually provides a strong defense for our faith. A strong defense. Why? Because after all was said and done, after living a life with Jesus, he declared that Jesus was God. And you might say, why is that a defense for our faith, that the brother of Jesus would declare Jesus is God? Well, let me ask you this question. What would your brother or sister have to do to convince you that they were God? Probably a lot more than they're currently doing. Someone say amen. James believed. He grew up with Jesus of Nazareth, but to him, he just wasn't Jesus of Nazareth. He was Jesus, the Son of God. And so we should pay attention to what James has to say. Theologians call the book of James, the letter that James writes, the New Testament version of the Proverbs. It's chock full with wisdom on how to live a flourishing life as a believer in Jesus Christ. And we're going to see some of that wisdom today. Now, I'm not going to ask you to stand just yet for the teaching of God's word. What I'm about to read are just the opening sentences of James' letter to the early Christians. And then after that, we'll read the teaching text. But here are the opening words of the half-brother of Jesus, James, to the early church. He says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, a servant of my brother. That's wild. To the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. He goes on to say, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, this is probably inappropriate for me to say as a pastor, but I'm just going to be honest with you. There are certain verses in the Bible that I just wish weren't there. Come on, somebody. Is it just me? Just me, right? Like, how about that one? Like, love your enemies. Ooh, I don't like that one, if I'm being honest. How about this one? Wait on the Lord. Oh, I don't like wait on the Lord. And then this one here, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you face trials of various kinds. Come on, you gotta be kidding me. How can I count it all joy when I hate my job? How can I count it all joy when my kids who once were walking with Jesus aren't walking with Jesus anymore? How can I count it all joy when I'm single and I'm lonely and I don't know where my life is headed? How can I count it all joy? And man, I don't want to take away from this passage because we are to count it all joy, but I am thankful that that's not the teaching text for today. Come on, somebody. Because certain times I read the Bible and I'm like, okay, count it all joy. Is there anything else? Come on, James. What else do you got for me? Okay, count it all joy. I'll figure that out at some point. Is there anything else? And by God's grace, there is. And so without any further ado, at all of our campuses, let's stand now for the reading of God's word. On the heels of saying, you got to go through trials so that you can be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The very next verse says, if any of you lacks wisdom, Let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This is the word of the Lord on this great Sunday morning. And at all of our campuses, we say, amen, amen. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. Now, prepared for you an outline this morning so we could follow along and move through the text. We're going to first look at a command right there off the jump. We're going to look at a condition, a consequence, and we're going to close with a crown. A command, a condition, a consequence, a crown. And so if you are ready for the teaching of God's word, if you're ready to jump back into this text, would you say, I'm ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, I didn't hear you in Oakland. I didn't hear you in Hayward here in the room again. If you're ready, say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
All right, let's jump back into the text and look at this command. What does James write? If any of you lacks wisdom, let's read it together. Let him ask God. Let him ask God. That's a command. That's not a suggestion. When you lack wisdom, when you're going through trials, ask God. What does God have to say about the suffering that you're going through? The command, I want to make it very clear. The command is ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. Now, I'm going to spend the majority of my time under this point this morning, and then we'll spend the time under the next three. But I have four things to say about this command. Four things to say. I want to say, first of all, that we don't do it. Then we're going to define it. And then I want to say we don't have this wisdom, and then I'm going to say only God does. So first, we don't do this. Someone say amen. We don't ask God for wisdom. Let me tell you what I typically ask God for when I'm going through a difficult circumstance. I ask God for resources. Lord, I'm going through a financial struggle. Show me the money. I need some money, Lord Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Lord, provide some money. I need resources. How many of you have ever prayed for resources? Say amen. Show me them resources. Others of you, it's like, no, I need rescue. I need rescue. Take me out of this situation. Take me out of this job. Take me out of this relationship. Take me out of this situation. I need rescue. Others would say, man, I just need some rest. I just need some rest, Lord. Just help me. But can I tell you, not that any of those things are bad, but the word of the Lord would say, you don't need resources. You don't need rescue. You don't need rest. More than anything else, Resonate Church family, we need revelation. You need a revelation from God in regards to your suffering. You need a revelation from God as to why you should be able to count it all joy. Because with our carnal human minds, we don't have any reason to count it all joy. But if God reveals to you something deeper, then you'd have reason to count it joy. See, what if he had wisdom to what you should do in that financial situation? What if he had wisdom to what you do in that relationship? But I think it all starts with being honest that we don't do this. And so James says, ask God for wisdom. Now, lest we continue and assume that we have the same definition for wisdom, I'm going to do my best now to help us all have a working definition of biblical wisdom. What is wisdom? Great theologians over the years have said it much better than I can, and so let me just read a couple definitions of biblical wisdom to you. One writer says, Ralph Martin, that wisdom is practical righteousness in everyday living. I think we could all benefit from some practical righteousness for everyday living. A.T. Robertson says it this way, the practical use of knowledge. See, there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. Meredith Myers, she says it this way, wisdom is truth applied in specific situations for godly ends. How many of you would say, man, I could use some wisdom? Some truth applied in specific situations. Now, I did my best to come up with a simple definition for wisdom. I say it this way. Wisdom is God's unique will for specific life circumstances. You know, God has a unique will for that relationship that you're at odds in. God has a unique will for you on your job during this season. God has a unique will for how you should go about parenting that child. God has a unique will for how you should wisely handle your financial resources in this season of your life. God has a unique will. But the question is, do we ask him for it? Now, I want to tease out this definition just a little bit more by sharing with you some differences between knowledge and wisdom. Let's put a chart up on the screen here. Knowledge. Everyone knows that discipline is good for a child. And all the parents said, amen, amen, right? Discipline is good. But you need wisdom. You need to know how to uniquely discipline this specific child during this specific season of their life because they're acting in this specific way. Come on, parents, someone say, I need some wisdom. I need some wisdom. See, we know that conflict resolution is a good thing. But do you know that every conflict shouldn't be resolved the same exact way? You need godly wisdom in regards to resolving conflict with that specific person because you're dealing with this specific thing. You need wisdom to know. I mean, it's good. Knowledge, everyone knows. You should have a job that you enjoy. But how many of you would agree, man, I need some wisdom on what it looks like to transition out of this job? Am I just going to leave my house in financial hardship because I'm not being wise about the decisions I'm making? Finally, everyone knows it's important to take care of your mental health. It's important to take care of your mental health. But wisdom from the Lord says, this is what you should do in this unique season with this specific mental health challenge. This is what you should do. This is where you should go. This is what you should take from your therapist, and this is what you should put aside. There's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is God's unique will for specific circumstances. And at this point in the message, at all of our campuses, by a show of hands, how many of you could use some wisdom for a specific area in your life? Just raise your hand. Come on. Yes, yes, yes. The rest of you are like, I'm not sold yet. Keep teaching. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. All right, that's fine. Here we go. I'm going to say the next thing. Third thing. We don't have it. You don't have this wisdom, friend. You don't have it. Google does not have it. Google doesn't have it. Whoa, yeah, look, look. Our tech people, they don't have it. They don't have it. Only God has the wisdom we need. And some of us in this age of so much technology, what we do is we end up leaning on those things rather than the God of all creation. We don't have it. Some of you, the first place you go when you need wisdom is to a friend. And that's the wrong person to go to. Some of you, I just go to my parents. I go, whatever mommy, daddy said, mommy, daddy, you're 45 years old. Talking to mommy and daddy first. Stop that. Stop that. Talk to God. He's waiting. You don't have it. Mommy doesn't have it. Only God has it. Only God has this wisdom. I want to take you to a portion in the book of Job. Once again, for those of you who are new to the scriptures, Job was a man who had it all. The riches of the world. Not only did he have it all, but he was a righteous man. He was a godly man. And God allowed the enemy, God allowed Satan to take it all away. To take away his livestock. God allowed Satan, I would never be able to understand why God would allow Satan to even take Job's children away. And if you thought that was bad enough, God even allowed Satan to touch Job's body, and so that Job had these boils and sores. And so not only was he financially destroyed, but he was physically broken down. And how many of you would agree, if you found yourself financially in ruins, physically in ruins, your family gone, you would need some wisdom. And under this point, only God has it, I want you to see Job's thoughts in the midst of his suffering. He says this, "But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its worth, and it is not found in the land of the living." He goes on to say, "The deep says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought for gold, and silver cannot be weighed as its price. Where is wisdom? From where then does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living." Did you catch that, church family? The wisdom of God is hidden from the eyes of the living and concealed from the birds of the air. Then Job drops the nugget. We can't forget. God understands the way to it, and he knows its place. God is the only one who has the wisdom you need. So one more time, the command, ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. Now, before moving on to the next point, what follows next is what some theologians say, what I say as I study this text afresh, is one of the most beautiful promises in all of the scriptures. How James follows up the command to ask God for wisdom, it's followed up by one of the most beautiful promises. Let's take a look. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Let's read this together. All of our campuses, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. One person realizes the beauty of this passage. God gives generously to all without reproach, and someone say, thank God. Amen. Generously. Let's break down these words. When you need wisdom for your finances, for your mental health, for your family, for your education path, the first thing you need to know is God gives generously, lavishly. He wants to give you all the wisdom he has. Let me try to help you understand just how generous. You folks ever been to Panda Express? Come on, somebody. Panda Express, you know? You ever get frustrated when you're in the line at Panda Express and you ask for that orange chicken, right? And they seem to be like carefully doing their scoops. And don't you just hate it when they take some back? That just angers me at the deepest part of my soul. Like, it's two pieces of chicken, man. Just leave it in there. Why are you taking it back? Can I just tell you, that's not how God gives. That's not generous. You know how God gives? You guys ever ordered some Five Guys fries? Come on, somebody. Five Guys fries? Don't you love it? They pour some in the cup, and they're like, just get the whole thing. Put it in the bag. Generous with some fries, over the top generosity. Yeah, that's how our God wants to give you wisdom. Over the top, more than you need. He wants to give you wisdom for every area of your life. And it's not just generous, it's all. Yes, you, yes, in Hayward, yes, in Oakland, you, he wants to give all of us wisdom. He's no respecter of persons. Maybe you haven't been following Jesus for a very long time. I want to let you know he wants to give you wisdom. Maybe you don't read your Bible very much. He wants to give you wisdom. Maybe you haven't been the best husband, the best son, the best dad. I want to tell you, regardless, he wants to give you wisdom. He wants to give wisdom to all. And finally, the scripture says, without reproach. We don't use that word very often, reproach. What does that mean? It means without hesitation. God wants to give you more. I don't know if you've ever been in the Panda Express line and you say, can I have some more? I'm irreverent like that. So I say, hey, do you mind putting a little more? And sometimes they're like, no, you got to pay extra. And other times I feel like they do it with reproach, you know, like, okay, like I'm making them angry by asking for more. But you know, Jesus is not angered by your request for wisdom. Jesus is not frustrated by your need for wisdom. Instead, he longs to give it to you, overflowing, all without reproach. How many of you are thankful for that truth? Let's praise the Lord this morning. Praise God. All right. There is a condition. Let's move on in this outline. There is a condition. James is clear. Let's go back into the text. What does he say? But let him ask in faith with no doubting. All our campuses, everyone say, no doubting. No doubting. No doubting. No doubting. To receive this wisdom from God, the scriptures tell us, ask in faith with no doubting. Now, I've got to be honest. I have had a complex relationship with God as it relates to my prayers being answered. And struggling with doubting and even struggling with what God's word has to say about doubting at points. Because there's another passage that says, if you speak to the mountain, be moved, mountain, and do it without doubting, that mountain can be moved. And so it seems like there's a connection between our faith and God's power for miracles. Jesus even says in a couple passages, I was unable to do miracles because of their lack of faith. Yikes. So what does that mean, God? If I don't believe 100%, no doubt, then and only then you're going to answer my prayers? I remember two Christmases ago when my wife's mother fell ill suddenly. And we were praying. And the best way I knew how, I believe I was praying, I believe my wife was praying, I believe our whole family was praying without doubt for her healing. But God didn't heal her. She left us way too soon. So what does that mean? And you got to be careful here, because this is where, if you're not careful, you can get into some really unhelpful theology where you place all the onus for God to move on your faith. Because here's what I know on the other side of the coin. There's been times when I haven't believed fully for God to do something and he answered the prayer. So how does this actually work? Can I just tell you? You can turn to your neighbor and you say, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. It's one of those things. I don't believe that God's sovereign, omnipotent power can be restrained by my faith. But God's word also says that our faith has something to do with our prayers being answered. And so if you want to understand that further, Pastor Scott, he can answer all the questions for you after the service is over. He'll handle it. Pastor Will, Pastor Christopher, they'll handle it on your campuses. Here's what I do know. Here's what I'm sure of. You have a better chance of your prayers being answered if you aren't doubting rather than if you are. And this promise in particular We could take it to the bank. That's why I called the message Unacceptable Doubt. We must not doubt when it comes to asking God for wisdom, because the scripture is clear. He'll give it generously to all without reproach. So, church family, don't doubt God's ability to give you wisdom. Don't doubt his ability to speak in to the specific situation that you're going through. He will answer. Now, let's keep it moving. What is the command? Is to ask God for wisdom. What's the condition? Don't doubt. What's the consequences of doubting? Let's see what James has to say. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Okay, this is a lot to unpack here. I don't have all the time to do it, so let me summarize it for you this way. If you doubt when you ask God for wisdom, doubting God's ability to give you wisdom will lead you to experience spiritual seasickness. If you doubt God's ability to give you wisdom, you will be like a wave tossed to and fro. Now, I don't know if you guys know anything about seasickness, but I sure do. Man, I get seasick watching a boat on TV, okay? I get seasick on a cruise ship. It could be big cruise ship, I get seasick. I get little dinghy boat, I get seasick. Anything in between. One time my wife and I were in Hawaii and we wanted to do one of those snorkeling opportunities. Great, great, great. But we picked the one that was 90 minutes by boat away. What were we thinking? And let me just tell you, that day, the waves, they were waving. They were waving. The waves were waving, okay? And I was sick. I was dying. I was throwing up. I was literally dying on the boat. And they put me in the back of the boat. If you go to the back of the boat, it'll be fine. And I'm in the back of the boat laying out. And I'm like, I'm in the back. Why am I still dying on this boat? Throwing up. It was bad. And then we get to shore. And I'm like, oh, thank God we're on shore. And then I put my feet on the shore. Why did the shore feel like it was moving? Why was it still moving? It was the worst. It was the worst. For those of you who have been seasick, you know it's bad. You don't have equilibrium. But if you doubt God when asking for wisdom, you will lack spiritual equilibrium. You will be off. And the word says you will be unstable in all of your ways. If you doubt God's ability to give you wisdom on your job, you'll be unstable in your parenting. If you doubt God's ability to give you wisdom in your parenting, you'll be unstable in all of your ways, unstable with your health, unstable with your finances, unstable with your relationships. There are consequences to not asking God for wisdom and for doubting. Maybe the worst of all, it says this person should not expect that he would receive anything from God. Stakes are high. Stakes are high. Consequences. The scripture says he's double-minded in all of his ways. Double-minded. What that means is it's like trying to look in two places at once. God can give me wisdom. God can't give me wisdom. God can give me wisdom. God can't give me wisdom. God can't. Get spiritual whiplash. And some of you, you feel this. Man, why don't I feel steady in my life? Why does the world just seem to be, why don't I feel like I'm on the rock? And maybe it's because you're not trusting God implicitly to give you wisdom when you ask. Now, as we close, I'm going to talk about a crown. And I think it's so important to talk about this crown because I can assume that some of you right now, you're just like, man, okay, great. ask God for wisdom. Man, I haven't been doing that too much. I've been asking for all this other stuff. Okay, that's helpful. I'll ask God for wisdom. Okay, that's helpful. I won't doubt. But maybe some of you are like, but my difficult circumstances are pressing in so much. I don't even know if I can leave here today and apply this. Where's the light at the end of the tunnel? In James, as he continues to write in this passage, he says just a few moments later, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Resonate Church family, there in Oakland, there in Hayward, God is testing your faith through your challenging circumstances. But he's not testing your faith to destroy you. He's testing your faith to purify your faith. He's testing your faith so then when all is said and done, it could be revealed to you that your faith was the type of faith that comes from God and God alone. What is the crown of life? The crown of life is life eternal. The crown of life is your inheritance and my inheritance, bought and purchased by the person of Jesus Christ. When you endure these trials by counting it all joy, by asking God for wisdom, there will be a day when there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sadness, only life with God eternal. Now, hopefully that's encouraging for some of you. But I got one more piece of encouragement. Once again, I want to talk to the person who right now, you need more. I need more encouragement. I need more hope. And to give you that hope, all I could do is talk about the person of Jesus Christ. All I could do is point you to Jesus. Don't look at the need to ask God for wisdom. Don't look at all this other stuff. Let's look at Jesus for a moment. There will be a day when you and I metaphorically are given that crown of life, because there was a day when Jesus Christ of Nazareth literally had a crown of thorns pressed on his head. And that crown of thorns pressed on his head was the proof that God loves you. In the midst of your suffering, God loves you. Scripture says he was pleased to give up his son. He gave generously. He gave Jesus for all of us. All without reproach, God was pleased to give us his son. And because that crown of thorns was pressed on his head, because those nails went through his hand, you and I can trust that these circumstances of this life will never truly crush us, because Jesus was crushed in our place. He loves you. Jesus is the proof. For God so loved the world that he gave generously his son Jesus, that all who believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And for those of you who would even cross the campuses and you'd say, man, I feel guilty. I have not asked God for wisdom. I've doubted God's ability to give me wisdom. And maybe you feel condemnation. Maybe you feel guilty for just sins in your life in general. And you find yourself here in Fremont, there in Oakland, there in Hayward, and you're just overwhelmed by guilt for your sin. That crown of thorns pressed on Jesus's head is also the reason why you could trust that both you and I can be forgiven. Could be forgiven. you could walk out of this place today knowing you have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Resonate Church, how could your world be different this week? Can you just imagine as you're faced with the depression, as you're faced with the anxiety, as you're riddled with doubt, that as you see Jesus and what he's accomplished, okay, God, I know you love me, and so I'm just gonna take you on your word. I'm gonna ask you for wisdom. Can you imagine God giving you that wisdom from your parenting situation? God giving you that wisdom for your work situation? God giving you that wisdom in the specific way that you need it at this unique time in your life? What an opportunity we have. Would you bow your heads? Going to actually give you the time now to apply this message the best way you know how, right there where you're seated, in the quiet of your own heart. Would you ask God for wisdom wherever you need it? Trust that he's waiting. Trust that he wants to lavish it on you without anger, without hesitation. And so bow your heads, close your eyes, talk to God. I'm going to give you a minute. Just cry out to God for the wisdom you need. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, all over this Bay Area, your sons and your daughters are calling out to you for wisdom, for specific areas of their life where they can see, Lord, they don't have the answer. They need you. They need what this world can't provide. And so, God, I'm standing in the gap for my brothers and sisters, and I'm asking, would you be so good? Would you be so kind? Would you be true to your word like you've always been? And would you pour out that wisdom generously? And may we walk in the freedom of that wisdom. May we walk in the wholeness of that wisdom. Holding on to the truth that Jesus gave his life for us, that he is wisdom personified, and he lives inside of us. Even as we take communion now and as we sing, may the person of Jesus Christ be our hope, be our all in all. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Would we thank God for his word this morning?
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. We hope it blessed you. If you have any questions regarding this week's message, we invite you to tune into our next episode, our Sermon Q&A podcast, where your top voted questions will be discussed. The link is in the description. Finally, as we say here at Resonate, now live sent.